treatment.
I tell you, I'm a surgeon myself. I've been a surgeon now for close to 23 years. And when we started off, we used to, everything used to be done by hand. But now we got so many instruments. Now everything you touch, that's an instrument. You got this and this and this and that happening. Sometimes it makes it so difficult. You don't know what you're touching, which button to press. Now it's almost similar. You got so many buttons all the way around. And you don't know what sound is going to come out from each button. Our nurses do keep us in order. So I thank God for the nurses that we have around us. Sometimes the nurses tell us, you know what, that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. We just obey them. Right, thank you for having me. It's an absolutely wonderful day. Sun is out, and the mood is all getting a bit springy for us. And so it's absolutely great to be here. The topic that we're going to talk about is the living in peace. This is a time of Lent, and a time of Lent is where we think in terms of the suffering of Christ and his death on the cross. So death is a big part of Lent that we meditate on. Death is something that is real, that's something that happens, death of this world. Can anyone here suggest the ways in which people deal with death? How do you prepare for death? Do you have anything? Have any of you here done anything in preparation for death? I'm not saying that we should do it. Most people, we probably ignore it. We don't want to hear about it. We probably think it's never going to happen to me ever again. It's never. But do any of you prepare for death? Write a will. Brilliant. Yes, write a will. Anything else? Some people do something called write a bucket list. Yeah, you write a bucket list. Before you kick the bucket, what are the things I want to do? You know what British people want to do the most? I read it in a newspaper not so long ago, a few months back. They want to see the Northern Lights. They want to see the seven wonders of the world. You know, apparently today, Northern Lights can be seen from Scotland. Apparently the weather's so good. They want to swim with the dolphins. Things that we want to do. A few other things that people want to do is they want to learn music. They want to learn languages. They want to dance. Almost like what we want to do as a child. Now we want to come back to becoming a child when you become old. And there's one interesting thing that I found in there. Some people said they want to quit their jobs before they die. Now, I hope so. And I hope they're not working when they want to die. Maybe work does kill people. Yes, the important thing that I'll encourage people to do is write a will. You know, we need to write a will, or a testament as we call it, to give up what we have in our possessions to people, to others. You know, things that belongs to us, things that we own, that we want to give it to others. And the particular thing is, it's got to belong to you. Yeah, we don't give up Buckingham Palace. I can't give up Buckingham Palace to my son. Yeah, the Queen will obviously get angry. So that needs to belong to us. A will means that it needs to belong to you for you to distribute it to others. You can distribute it to different people. Some people have given it to their pets, some people have given it to churches, some people have given it to organizations, to your children, to husbands, to wives, to friends. There's an interesting story. There's a lady who wanted to write a will. So she wrote a will and had a few final requests to make. So she called the local pastor, the church pastor that she goes to, and she said, I want to make some final requests. Can you help me with this? The pastor said, yeah, that's fine. I've got two requests. One is, I want to be cremated. So the pastor said, yeah, that's fine. What's the second one? She said, I want my ashes to be scattered over Marks and Spencer. And the pastor said, what? I can understand the first thing, but why? What is this about Marks and Spencer that you want it to be scattered about? She said, well, at least in that way, my daughters will visit me twice a week. There's going to be a big queue in Marks and Spencer soon. Yeah, we're going to be all distributing our ashes down there. Yeah, we all need to write a will, yeah, distributing what we have. Will you be surprised if I tell you Jesus did that? Jesus wrote a will. It's a bit of a silence. Everybody's got a, some people have got a bit of a puzzled look with regards to, did he write a will? He wrote a will. Now, things that belonged to him, he distributed before he died. Mary was given to John to look after. His clothes were taken by the soldiers. His spirit, Jesus says when he dies, Lord, into my hands I give up my spirit. His body is taken by Joseph of Arimathea. So where does it leave the disciples? The disciples were the people who were close to him. You know, when we write a will, we normally write a will for people who are close to us. We don't write a will to somebody we don't know. We don't. Have you ever seen a will that's written to the person I unknown? Yeah, we don't. We write to people that we actually know. Disciples were people who traveled with Jesus throughout. They were there through the Garden of Gethsemane. They were there through the whole time. What did he give them? Did he leave them with anything? Did he leave them with anything? Let's read. John 14:27 says this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. It's very clear, he says, talks about my peace I leave with you. Whose peace? Peace of Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible Jesus claims about anything as mine, I'm going to give to somebody else. He doesn't talk about the miracles as being mine. He doesn't talk about grace as being mine. He doesn't talk about mercy as being mine. But this specific thing, before he dies, this happens after the Last Supper, he says, my peace, something that belongs to me, I'm going to leave with you. Something that's quite valuable to me. You know, nothing else he takes ownership of it to say, this is mine, I'm going to hand it over to you. But peace is the only thing he says, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to leave it for you. You know, because that is valuable for me, and I think that's going to be useful for you. That's what Jesus does. That's this message. Message of peace, of living in peace. I don't know what situation people are in, as Amitha was saying. Troubles and anxiety and things are around us. But Jesus' message is of peace. His peace that he leaves with us. When we talk about peace in the Bible, there are three types of peace that the Bible talks about. We'll explore these things in a short while. First is peace with God. In Romans 5:1 it says this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through who? Through the Lord Jesus. The Bible describes us before we came to Jesus as being lost, as being children of wrath, as being enemies. If you go down the same passage in Romans, it talks about us as being the enemies. Once we were the enemies of Christ. We were all that before, but through Lord Jesus, we have come down in peace with God. That is what salvation is about. That's what salvation is about. It's giving us the assurance of peace with God. That is a concise definition of salvation. In Colossians 1:20, it says this, Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. It is a cross and the blood that has reconciled us with Christ. So what is the salvation you're talking about? People here might be saved. People here might be not be saved. What is the salvation you're talking about? There are two important components of salvation. One is repentance. Repentance for our sins. Do we sin? We all sin. We are born in sin. I'm yet to see, we had a lot of children here, we asked them, do we have any issues, do they say, and one child said, yeah, they lie. I'm yet to see a mother or father having taught a child to lie. Do we teach a child to lie? We don't. A small child, they lie without anyone teaching them. It's born in the flesh. They go and hide. They know they've done something wrong. They'll go and hide. You don't need to do anything that you recognize. We are all born in sin. We need to repent for it. We need to repent for what we have done. We need to repent. That's a part of the salvation that we need to come up to. The second part is acceptance of our Savior, Lord Jesus. If you are all sinners, we need a Savior. Law can't save us. Sometimes we might believe that, you know what, I can do it. Yeah, I'm a good man. Your goodness is like filthy rag in front of the Holy God. We need to come to the Lord Jesus. We need a Savior to save us from the flesh that we are in. Our flesh is weak. We need a Savior. We need the blood of the cross to cover us. We need peace with God. That is the foundation of peace. No other things that can be built on top unless we have the peace of God, peace with God, that we can build it upon. Whichever stage that you're in, think in terms of repenting for your sin and accepting Christ as your Savior. I encourage you to achieve this peace with God. What's the second type of peace the Bible talks about? It's peace with others. It's Ephesians 4:3 says this, bind yourselves together with peace. Saying, bind yourselves together. You know, I don't know whether you've been bound before. Sometimes when I play with my daughter, she likes to be the cop and I'm the person, and she likes to bind us up. You know, it can be quite, even though children, they don't know what they have. Being bound together with peace is different. You know, it's almost like peace suffocating you. Have you ever had that? Peace suffocating you. Jesus said it in the Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Time and again in the rest of the New Testament, it talks about this aspect of peace. You know, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you look into the rest of the Bible, a lot of times it comes down, who will be called as children of God? It talks about people who have faith in Christ will be called children of God. People who are led of the Holy Spirit will be called as children of God. And along with that, it talks about peacemakers as being children of God, almost equating it with salvation. Being a peacemaker is a very important part of a biblical principle that we are called to follow. How can we do this? How can we live in peace with others? Tough, huh? Tough. Easiest thing to say is, anyone who's got an in-law will know how tough it is. Yeah? Mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, oh boy, it's tough. It takes a lot of working, hard work to do. In Ephesians 4:2, it says this, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to be in the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So there are two things that talks about here, is humility and patience. In Colossians, along with bearing in love, it adds this, bear with each other and forgive one another. I want to talk about three things, short, very crisp. First is humility. In Ephesians 4, as it says, be humble. Humility, as a biblical principle, is taught of in different ways in humility. In Philippians 2:3, it says this, don't think too highly of yourself, but consider others better than yourself. Yeah, that's another definition of what do you mean by humility? Sometimes it's easy to say, yeah, be humble. But what does it mean in real life? It means to consider others better than you. Wow. Imagine going home and thinking, yeah, your wife is better than you, your husbands are better than us. Yeah, it's something. It talks about honoring others, another bit of humility. What does humility mean? It means to honor the other person. It's being gentle. Humility means it's being gentle with the other person. If you're a humble person, we'll be gentle. In Ephesians 5, it talks about humility being submitting to another person. You know? Sometimes we think of humility as we need to think less of ourselves. But true humility is not to think about yourself at all. It's to just think about the other person that is there. How do you establish peace with others? First thing is you've got to be humble. You need to have a true sense of humility with regards to the other person. What's the second thing that I wanted to talk about? Patience. We are all impatient. We live in an impatient world. We live in an instant gratification world. Yeah, I remember days in which we used to write letters. How many, any of you still write letters? We do. Brilliant. Fantastic. You know, 20, 22 years ago, I came down here and my wife was still in India. So she used to write letters to me. There's nothing else other than letters. And the letter, by the time it reached here, used to take 10 days to reach here. By the time, everything has become older. We are living in a different era and she's living in a different time zone. So it used to be quite tough. And then came email. Yeah, we thought, oh, email is a big thing. And now we don't even access emails. Now everything is messaging systems. You know, it's all, things have changed so much. We live in an instant gratification world. Everything is fast food. Previously, we used to cook. Now, you go down supermarket, racks and racks of fast food. Yeah, we want to take everything, eat immediately. Yeah, that's what we want. We want answers. We want to Google it. You know, we don't want to wait. Just take it and immediately, what do you want to do? We want to Google. Yeah, instant gratification we want. But Bible talks about, as we was talking about the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, it's fruit of the Spirit is patience. Jesus was patient. Imagine going to the cross and how patient he was through with everything that was happening around him. Try being that patient to things happening around you. Whatever things that is causing anxiety, try being that patient. In Bible, somebody mentioned long-suffering. Now, Bible, some versions of the Bible talks about patience as long-suffering, as forbearance. It's all the same thing. In other words, the patience that the Bible talks about is not a passive patience. It's not something that you wait. Sometimes we think patients are just waiting for the train. You know, I'm just waiting. That's not the patience it's talking about. It's talking about waiting with discomfort, a long suffering. When you're suffering, but you're still waiting for it, that is patience. That's the patience that the Bible talks about. That's the patience that Jesus showed on the cross. Not the patient, well, I'm just patiently waiting for it to happen. Yeah, when nothing's there, well, that's good to, for you to do, but that's not the, what the Bible talks about as patience. Let's go. This third one is forgiveness. In Colossians 3:13 says, forgive one another. There's a short story. A man was finding it difficult to forgive things. He was going along the street one day and a dog bit him. He thought that the dog was a rabbit, you know, had rabies. So he went to the doctor. He thought, you know what, I think a dog bit me. I think it might have rabies. What should I do? Will I die? So the doctor said, well, there's no treatment for rabies. If you get rabies, you probably will die. But there's no treatment, but it doesn't mean that everyone will get it because a dog just bit them. So then man said, can I have a paper? And the doctor gave him a paper and he started writing down different names. So the doctor said, well, I just told you, you're not going to die, probably not going to die. This is the name of, are you writing the name of the people that you want us to contact in case something happens? The man said, no, I'm writing the name of the people that I want to bite if I get rabies. Yeah. We find it difficult to forgive. Yeah, find it difficult to forgive. In a corner of our heart, we want to keep something. Yeah, we never can forgive. Ask the children. They are great forgivers. You know, they forget things. They fight with each other. Next day, forget it. Yeah, I always say this. You should not be just forgivers. We should be forgetters. Start forgetting things. You know, when you still keep it in your heart, you still have a bit of resentment. When you keep it within your heart, you have still a bit of resentment. Learn to forget. If you want to have peace with others, yet be humble. Have patience. Learn to forget things. Whatever the other person might have done. The third piece is peace of God. We read this subject now. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. We all fear things. There are different levels of fears. You know, nowadays, if I miss my phone, my heart skips a beat. You know, suddenly, if you don't have your phone with you and you've walked off somewhere else, gosh, you just don't know what to do. You're so tied down to your phone. If my wife says, I want to have a word with you, God, my heart skips a beat. What have I done now? One of these things about women, wives are, if a wife asks you a lot of questions, you don't know how to answer it. If she says, how do I look? Do I look fat in this? You don't know what to answer. How do you say this? Yes, no, you know. Sometimes you don't want to be there. Do you like this? What do you say? You made up your mind and you still want permission. So we have fear. We have fear for different things. You know, we have fear for the world, what is around us. We have fear for our children. We have fear for our health. We have fear. We are anxious about anything. This generation is the most anxious generation that has ever been. We take so many pills. We pop pills like never before. We are anxious people. Fear is the first thing that the devil brought in when they sinned. In Genesis, it talks about this. It says, but the God called to man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid. The first thing when man had sinned that he never had before, which came into his being, was fear. Fear is from the devil. Fear separates you from God. God comes in search of you, but fear takes you away from him. That's what fear does. That's what it did to Adam. That is what it will do for you. God is a Prince of Peace. How do we overcome this fear? How do we and come down to have the peace of God? First is prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer. Prayer. You know, communication with God. We are living in a generation, we are living in an age of communication. Everything we don't want to talk. The more and more we communicate with the world, the more and more we less communicate with God. That's what is happening. We got so much of access to things and our communication with God has gone away. In Luke 5:16, it says this. It says, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In the Bible, the whole of the Bible, there's nothing that talks about Jesus doing something often or frequently. Nothing. Except for prayer. It doesn't talk about miracles happening frequently. It's not described. Maybe he did it. But this bit, you know, it specifically mentions often withdrew to places to pray on his own. If somebody was to describe you as doing something often, what would they describe you? Let's put a challenge up. When you all go back home, on the way back home, your wives, your husbands, your children, why don't you ask each other, what do I do often? And let the other person answer it. Is it television? Is it on the phone? Is it about work? What is it that you do often? What did Jesus do often? He prayed often. Prayed often. Let that be something that people can describe you as. When somebody is going to write a book about you, they need to say, you know what, that man, he prayed often. There's an interesting thing in Revelations 8, it talks about where the angel holds the prayer of the saints and brings it to the altar in heaven in front of God. The prayer rises up in front of God. And it creates thunder, lightning, shakes the earth Imagine that. Your prayers making an impact in heaven. It shakes the world. You need to believe in it, in prayer. How do you get the peace of God? You know, we need to pray. We need to have the direct communication with God. What is the second thing that this passage talks about thanksgiving? What do we thank God for? We thank God for who He is, for what He's, for who He is. He's an almighty God. You know, He's a person who forgives everything. He's a great I Am. He's a miracle-working God. He is Creator God. He can do anything and everything. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. When we thank God, we need to thank God for who He is. We need to thank God for what He has done for us. Go back in your lives. Think about what the Lord has done. Think about all the things that He's done. The family that you have, the things that you've brought, things, all the things that you've done. That's what David did. You know, David, if you look into Psalms, look almost all the Psalms, he starts off in a place where he cries out, "Lord, I'm anxious, I'm desperate, I don't know what to happen." That's how he starts. Then you go to the middle of the Psalm, he will start saying, "Lord, you're great, you're almighty. I look back into what has happened to me. You took me through the, I didn't even stamp on the waters. You took me, you parted the Red Sea, you took me through it. You took Israel through it." He brings his testimony to what he was thanking for. He brought the Lord into it. He starts with a point of despair. He goes down to bring his thanksgiving down for who the Lord is and what he'd done. And he finished most of the Psalms by saying, "Wonderful Lord, thank you. You fill my heart with happiness, with joy." And if you want to have peace of God in you, when you're anxious, bring your testimony back to you. Thank God for what he's done for you before. Thank God for who he is. The third and the final bit is your mind. If anxiety is taken out of your mind, what are you going to replace it with? You know, in Ephesians it says this, "Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That's what we need to fill our minds with. How did Jesus overcome the cross, the suffering of the cross? He would have suffered. How did he overcome? In Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says this, "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross." For the joy that was set before him. His mind was not in the present and now. His mind was on the future. For the joy that was set before him. We are not people of this world. The joy that we have is in heaven. When we look into it, not looking at thinking what is happening now around you is something that is eternal. No, 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 it's not eternal. For us, eternity is joy. There's a joy in eternity. Focus on that. That's what Jesus did. Bible says he was focusing on the joy that was set before him. He endured what he went through here. Let us change our mind into something that is filled with pure, something that is filled with something honorable, and let us focus on the joy that is set before us. There's a peace of God that will be with us. We need to have peace with others. Let's be humble. Let's forgive. Let's have patience. Let the peace of God be with us. Thank you.